Hey, welcome to another Super Flight podcast.
Oh my god, I
can't use my words. I have none.
This is starting out well once again.
All right. And just last week I was saying I had all the best words. What's going on? What's up, Mike?
Hello, Joe.
Hi, Mike. I feel like your mic's really hot.
My mic is very hot?
Yeah, now you're fine. Just don't scream into the mic. Don't scream. Don't. All right. So is mine. Jesus. Anyway. How's it going, peeps, out in Radio Land? It's so dumb. We're not even on the radio.
This anyway, is starting out
it's
great.
Really bad. Anyway.
Joe's been out this afternoon.
I've been out. I was at a... Let me give you a little background on like what it's like to live in Brooklyn and New York in the summertime. Everyone wants to have a cookout and a party. And so you get invited to all these things and you go to them and you end up drinking.
You're super fucking popular.
Way too many Bloody Marys. Yeah, because I'm super
Was it Bloody Marys today?
I'm popular. Yeah, it was Bloody Marys.
I was thinking you were just going to describe The Summer of Sam. That Spike Lee movie. Where it's just the heat wave and there's people being killed.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. That's every summer. I don't know. I got nothing. Dogs don't talk to me. But there was a dog there. That was very cute.
Dogs don't talk to me. I think you found the title of the podcast.
Dogs don't talk to me.
It's a good thing to know, by the way. I had my doubts.
It's tenuous at best, if you know, whether or not dogs talk to me. Anyway, do you want to talk about some balls? Basketball? Balls. We could talk about that, too.
You did the okay.
It happened again. There's another instance.
Oh, you're talking about the reach around from Dellavedova?
Yeah, reach around.
That hot reach around action.
Hot reach around action. Let's get into that later. You want to?
Yeah, we could just get out of the way. Start two podcasts in a row talking about people touching other people's balls.
Let's do it. You know what the funny thing is? I was thinking is like we had this whole talk about Chris Paul punching people in the nuts and getting really.
He's a big dick grabber.
And he didn't do anything in the playoffs. He was out in like three. Like he was
not enough dick grabbing.
I think that the theme of this whole playoffs has been dick grabbing or kicking or punching.
For me, it definitely has.
Yeah, you know.
You should see my dream journal.
How's the list in dream journal this week? filled with dicks.
I didn't think that. I don't know. I didn't think there was anything surprising. I think it was expected.
Punch him in the dick?
Oh, by the way, you saw Draymond kick Kyrie almost in the head, right? Flailing again? You didn't see that clip where he fake flails and he
went down to the
sort
ground.
Of like he sells the foul that didn't happen, but he throws his leg up and hits him in the chest trying for his head.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy.
And it seems really over-exaggerated, like he was trying to kick him in the
head.
That's
just what Draymond does. And they asked
him
about...
that's what Dellavedova does. Dellavedova is known for it too. I mean,
he's just, I think they're both dirty players, but yeah. All right, let's just be honest. Let's just call a spade. They both play really dirty.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Whatever.
Well, I think the surprise comes that Draymond had this, like, the media talked him up as being this crispy, clean character who was just a great leader for the team. And that wasn't the case. The case was that it's West Coast games and no one on the East Coast media actually watches those games. It's just an echo chamber and no one's actually seen them play. Watch the highlights the next game because they're all in bed. I watched game one and on the West Coast time, and it was a struggle when I had to work the next day.
Oh, fuck yeah, it's insane.
I was falling asleep by the fourth quarter, begging for a blowout.
By the way, I'm just going to say on the week of the donut holiday or whatever the hell it was, when you said crispy clean, I thought you were going with Krispy Kreme. It's going to be a rough one for me.
You'll be fine.
Anyway, happy donut day, which was like 3 days ago. Anyway. Since we haven't talked about the end of the OKC Warriors game, let's wrap it up real quick.
Okay.
Let's get into that. Sure. I know we're really late to the party, always a day late and an hour short with the shit, but whatever, it's fine. So I just want to say that I called OKC in seven. I want a pat on the back for that. Goddammit.
No.
All right, fine. No pats.
You're not getting a pat on the back for that.
Listen, it's the only time I've ever gotten one.
Did you call it before the series started?
I did. We have it recorded.
OKC in seven.
No, I said Golden State in seven.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, you said OKC. Sorry, I was confused. Okay.
Yeah.
You can have a pat on the back
thank
for
you.
That.
Thank
not
you.
From me. You can find someone else who cares.
Somebody out there, please give me a pat. Thank you. Listen, it's the only time I've ever called a series correctly. I'm not kidding you. Like, this is the first time in my entire life.
Yeah, it was good because I feel like a lot of... So, did you want to talk about that just for the pat on the back? Is that why you
Had some talking points here. Okay. But go ahead, what were you going to say?
No, it was interesting because a lot of people called the series in 7. I called it in less for Golden State, but I felt like a lot of the media just flip-flopped on that immediately when there was any sign of stress. Which is funny because that's what happens in a 7-game series.
Yeah.
They don't just exchange game for game.
Yeah.
Anytime a game, you know... I mean, it was amazing that Golden State came back from 3-1.
3-1.
But if a team was going to do it, it was going to be Golden State with the help of the refs.
Right. With the help of the refs. Let's emphasize that. Yeah. We're not affiliated with the NBA in any way. So
no, I think Oklahoma City could have cleared them out.
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah. They should have done it in Game 5.
Or Game 6. Yeah. Like, yeah. They had their shots.
They should have won Game 5.
I agree.
They really should have. Like, I was talking to you on the podcast last week, I think, and I was asking you if you had watched the game and like the calls going Golden State's way were just insane. I mean, it wasn't that big of a disparity, but there was obviously some like favoritism shown. That's all I'm saying.
Didn't Steve Adams get 2 fouls in the first quarter?
Like, yeah, I think.
Two
yeah.
2 seconds. Yeah. Foul. And he's, you know, big men, you can call him for fouls constantly.
All the time. Everything they do.
You can
they
have them all foul out anytime that you want.
Absolutely. Yeah. But anyway.
Speaking of big men.
Yes.
I was going to... Oh, go ahead. I was going to move right onto the championship series game 1, but...
Oh, I thought you were going to tell me I was looking very, very big today.
You always look big to me, brother.
I'm big in life, not in stature. But thank you. The one thing I did want to mention was that, like, there is... As soon as OKC came back, there was this choke narrative. Like, everyone was like, Golden State... Or, I'm sorry. As soon as Golden State came back and won the series, everyone was like, OKC choked! OKC choked! Like... Yeah, I know. I hate the choke. I just hate the choke narrative. I don't like it at all. I think.
Yeah, I don't either. I really have a problem listening to the media on a lot of these because what I was talking about last week, where the echo chamber gets so loud, it becomes hard for me to sort of get a sense of what's going on unless I'm seeing it with my own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
It gets hard for me to believe because they all start saying the same thing. It's like one dog. If you've ever been to a kennel, one dog barks and then two dogs bark and they all start to bark and they don't know what they're barking at. And that's what the media sounds like to me. It's just a kennel of dogs barking at nothing because one dog maybe saw a mouse in the corner. Like.
But we're very dog-centric today, aren't we? Speaking of, did you see this news story where like 276 dogs were rescued from one home? Anyway.
I didn't. That's quite an aside off topic.
Sorry, we're just talking about dogs.
Just be all over the place.
Why not? I'm a little toasty. So yeah, so I don't like the choke narrative. And like a few people came out and said that like, oh yeah, let's not give, you know... It's a stupid thing to say that they choked. They didn't choke. Like, I think that maybe Golden State was taken off guard to begin with. Wasn't really ready for the length and the speed of OKC.
I think so, too. I think they underrated them and how they would.
Right.
Did they correct? I don't know.
It's a good question.
I think it's one of those series where the team that was supposed to win won.
Right.
But in my opinion, which doesn't really matter because facts, I think OKC should have won and probably was the better team in that series. And well, it happens every once in a while.
I actually don't think they were the better team in the series. I think the better team in the series won. But
do you?
Yeah, I do. Okay. I really
even
do.
Though you just
I
said the refs helping them out?
They did help them out, but I still think overall that Golden State is the better team. They play more as a team. I think you could have gone either way. I mean, like, it's so close with these two. Whatever. It's fine. I don't know. I don't have that much to say except for, like, do you think that Durant's going to leave?
I couldn't say one way or another. I don't know why you'd leave a team like that.
I don't either. The people keep talking about this, and most, I actually think it's really...
Most players try to get traded to teams that are that good. You don't necessarily walk away unless you're just going for a market.
Exactly. And, like, in Durant's case, like, he doesn't need... to be in a big market because he's made the market come to him. He's that fucking good. Like, that team is that good. Like, the market will come to you if you're in Oklahoma. It doesn't matter. Like, we always talk about being in a big city and a big market does matter in certain aspects, yes. But when you're, like, a polarizing star like that, when gravity, like, warps
polarizing
to you. Maybe I used the wrong word.
I don't think he's polarizing.
He's not polarizing. But when you're, like, a star that, like, gravity warps around you.
Right.
You're fine. Stay in Oklahoma City. He's got Westbrook there, and he's got Ibaka there, and like Steven Adams is awesome. He's going to be really good. He's only 22.
He already is really good.
He's only 22.
Yeah,
that's nuts. He's going to get so good. I don't know why he would leave. I think he does a 1-year deal and then comes back. I think they all come back.
Back to the fact, I love the OKC big man core.
Yeah, right.
I've been saying it every week.
Mitch McCary. I still haven't seen him play a lick.
Great passer. Little undersized, but all of them, all four of them, can ball. I wouldn't have been sad if Portland had gotten Kanter. So.
Yeah, well,
I don't care that he doesn't play defense.
That's fine. You know what? That makes me want to jump to that stupid trade talk, but we'll get there later. We'll talk a little bit about my team later. Anyway, yeah. Anyway, what did you think about the first game? Game one, OKC, Cleveland. Or, oh, God, I keep going.
It was the typical first game of a final series where it's very frenetic. There's a lot of energy. Everyone plays very hard, but the actual basketball isn't that good, which commonly happens. It's the nerves game.
Absolutely.
I thought it was good. The only person who seemed calm on the floor, which is odd because they'd all been there before, was LeBron. He played like he was relatively calm, but I guess he's been there seven times.
Well, speaking of, let's talk about that a little bit. I know we both, well, I guess everyone likes to detract from him in some sort of way, but I love LeBron. I think he's one of the like best players. I'd say top three players in the NBA of all time.
I wouldn't agree with you on that, but.
Well, who would you put above him?
We can do that another time, right. But I just don't think he's in the top three of all time.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm sold that he's up there. I'm totally sold that he's up there.
We'll have to qualify, like,
yeah, how I mean,
defining
there's like,
the top players.
Yeah, but. I mean, there's a lot more that goes into it than just saying, like, oh, you know, whatever. Right. Anyway, but I think he's an outstanding talent.
Yeah, he's amazing.
He's
phenomenal.
He's a generational talent. He's been the premier player. He's way better than fucking Kobe. Just saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll give you that. I don't know about way better, but he's definitely better. I don't even have Kobe in my top 15, 20.
I'd put him in the top 15, but...
Kobe?
Yeah.
I wouldn't. But I have LeBron.
But maybe 15.
I have LeBron in my around 5 or 6.
Yeah, well,
we're getting off topic.
Yeah, so. Anyway. This is his 6th straight championship appearance. There's something that needs to be said about that. That's incredible. And I know we talk about how, like, LeBron loses two teams. The only two times he's actually won a championship was when he was with a team that had phenomenal players like Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. That was a serious team.
It was a serious team, but I think even that team didn't. Not always. He played with Dwayne Wade, the only person he's played with who he considers, I think, an equal. Yeah. I don't think he played with Bosh necessarily. Bosh was on that team, but like all of LeBron's teams, the people play with LeBron. I think LeBron rarely sees other players as his equal, and Dwayne Wade was one of the people, and he played with him, and that played to their advantage. Still want to point out they lost to the Mavs together as well.
That's true.
As a team, but
that's a good point. They did.
Yeah, right. I just thought when I watched those series that he doesn't consider very many players his equal, and when he doesn't consider his equal, a la Kyrie Irving or Kevin Love, he's going. That's why I think that like last year when Dellavedova and Mozgov played so well, is that they could embrace the role of being looked down on by LeBron because they weren't as good a player,
and they played,
and so they responded well to him. Whereas other players who are just like, I'm a star too. It doesn't mesh as well.
Right.
Well, I think he's gotten better at it as he's gotten older, but I think he, for his whole career, why he loses to teams is he looks down on most of his teammates. I'm not saying that it's, like, you could argue that it's not wrong, but if you want to win, you raise it up. It's the same thing Jordan did. He looked down on most of his teammates.
Yeah, but I think the difference is that, like, Jordan had better players around him. Jordan had Scottie Pippen. Like,
did Jordan have better players around him, or did Jordan make his teammates better?
Well, I think he did both, but, like, so the only time you could say that LeBron was actually in that situation was when he was playing with D-Wade. Because D-Wade is on his fucking level. Like, Dwayne Wade...
So he won one championship out of 3 tries with Dwayne Wade.
No, he won 2 out of 4.
I want to say this, though, that I think you're overrating the talent that was around Jordan in an immediately diluted league. And I think you're underrating the talent. You're overrating the talent around Jordan, and you're underrating the talent around LeBron. I think LeBron's had plenty of talented teams.
Yeah.
And I'm one of the things if you're that great, excuses. You're the best, top three for you, but you're making excuses for him. Like,
well, I still won 2 championships. All right, fine. Whatever. It's a well-noted point. Fair enough. But I'm just saying he's been there 6 times in a row. That's a pretty goddamn amazing feat.
In the diluted East, he wasn't playing in the West. Don't forget that.
That's true.
And he stayed in the East. He didn't go to the West when he had the chance.
But that also goes to my point of why he hasn't won more championships. A diluted East.
Like, I'm saying he's coming out of the East, so he dominates East. It's making the finals each time. Great, you made it in the East.
Right.
Which everyone for the entire time has said is horseshit.
So, right, but by that same standard, like, every team that comes out of the West is already a stronger fucking team than anything that comes out of the East. Take right. him and my, the best star out of the West, and the West still fucking wins
my point, every time. My point being, though, that if he'd played in the West, he wouldn't have made all the finals.
We don't that know that. I think he probably would have.
I don't think
because you put him on any of those West teams.
But if it's one of your accolades that you won the, out of two, 50-50, you won the worst by far, usually by four or five teams, worst of the two each year, and that's one of your accolades, he just keeps making the finals in the East.
Right. I know. I get what you're saying. I understand your point. I think we both have valid points, and I don't think either one of us is wrong. How does that happen?
It doesn't. You're wrong.
Fair enough. Anyway, I was going to say that, like, well, part of the problem, like, I don't know if you've seen any of the after interviews or anything. Like what was LeBron's quote the other night? Like,
I don't
what happened in the fourth
interviews.
Quarter? And he's like, they scored 40 points. We scored 10. That's what happened. Like, as soon as he went off the court, and I was thinking this before he even left the court, I'm like, oh my God, as soon as LeBron leaves the court and they put somebody in to sub him in, they're going to get blown out.
Did he say we scored 10?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not he.
No, I know, but sometimes I wonder, like, psychologically, like, that sort of, like, ultra-narcissistic egomaniac when we all lose together, but the victory's mine.
I don't think he's ever said a victory is mine. I think he's very good about
like, I didn't say about play. Speaking or what he says. Wow. But
anyway, the thing was that, like, as soon as he left the court, they were down by, I think, 2 when he went to the bench. When he came back, they were down by 15 and the game was over. Like, in, like, a 2 or 4 minute span. Like, how are you going to win? Like, apparently Kyrie doesn't play a lick of defense.
He doesn't. That was the big joke coming in. No matter, like, who won the Westbrook-Curry battle, they're going to have a field day on Kyrie, which is funny because Curry shot for shit.
Right.
What was he, like, 4 of 16 or
something?
There's
the other thing. And that's another good point. Like, so, yes, you're right. The first game was, like, it was a very sloppy game on both sides. They're both going to play better. But, man, if you're going up against Curry and Klay Thompson. Oh my God. and they haven't shot well. When they start shooting well, even if you're playing better, you're in trouble.
Right.
And I know I called this series in 7-2 for the Warriors.
I was calling it in 6.
I don't even think it's going to go that far. I mean, based
on
what
we saw, 6.
I hope it does.
I think the way the NBA has been calling games in this series.
The refs will even it out. Yeah.
I don't think they'll let it go 7 necessarily. Or no, like, the players still have a chance to make a difference, but. That's why I'm saying 6. I think if it was, you know, there wasn't a shitload of money on, you know, they got like a 15.9 million viewers, one of the largest broadcast in TNT history.
Ever. And yeah. Which is, by the way, great because I think that, like, I love the NBA and I would love for it to grow.
But why wouldn't you want the drama or why wouldn't you want it to go a couple
extra?
A little
longer, yeah.
There's a lot of money and a lot of people involved.
So much.
To make that happen.
Yeah. Which is why it would never be a sweep. I mean, if it's a sweep, then I take it all back. I eat my words.
Me too.
But I don't think the legal.
I agree with you. I think a couple games, one or two games, will go to the side. I think it'll be 5 or 6.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I think LeBron will them to 1 or 2 wins. I think he's worth 1 or 2 wins of sheer willpower.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I think we underrate LeBron. Or maybe we overrate him. I don't know. I feel like...
I'm not underrating him, I don't think. At 5 or 6 all time. I think he's fantastic. I'm just making the argument against you.
All right.
About... Because I don't like hearing that he... The main thing that I don't like hearing over and over again about LeBron's greatness is that he made 6 finals. That's the thing that bothers me.
No, I know. And that becomes like a talking point and people just keep going on and on.
About
and
him
on
making
about
6 finals in this shitty East. And I don't think he would have made 6 of 6 in the West.
Probably not.
Depends on what team he went to.
Depends on what team he was on, right. But probably not.
But could you imagine him on a team like the Spurs?
Yeah, they would have went to 6-3 finals.
Right, but could you imagine him on that team?
No.
With Ginobili and Parker and Duncan?
Well, that's the other thing. Like, he's never had a coach like Pop. Most people haven't had a coach like Pop. And like,
yeah, but I also feel like on the teams like the Spurs, for instance, one of the reasons they win so much but not all the time is the mutual respect it seems like the team has for each other.
Right.
And they're genuinely close, and they aren't passive aggressively tweeting at each other.
Yeah, he does that. He does that bullshit a lot.
Yeah,
I mean, people try and lead in different ways.
And some are successful.
Yeah, some are successful.
Yeah, people try to lead in different ways. Is a great way to put it.
Just saying, just throwing it out there. I don't know, but like, all right. So we both think that Cleveland is going to lose. We think that it's an inevitability that Cleveland loses this series, right? I just don't see how they beat the Warriors.
I don't know that it's an inevitability because it's sports and anything can happen, and I think Cleveland has the talent.
They do have the talent.
But you're also asking them to put it together in the, what is it, the 25th hour, the very last second, time's passed. So if they could put it together, they have the talent to play with them. One of the things I was going to say about this series when we talked about big men, speaking of big men, was I thought it was interesting with Steven Adams, the success OKC had had was because of their length and their size. Mm-hmm. And I really thought the Cavs would come in and run Tristan Thompson and out of nowhere, Mozgov, because they would be super long in the front court. And I don't think I saw Mozgov get on the floor in that game.
Not yet.
I don't think there's anything physically wrong with him. I just think that if Tyronn Lue, if he is indeed the coach, would have noted that Steve Kerr openly said our biggest problem is their size. And that's what they, obviously, if you watch the series, had a problem with. And then Cleveland went right to small.
Yeah. And that's the thing, too. That's like, it's a horrible mistake. You can't match Golden State playing small ball. You just can't.
No.
It's impossible. Clear. So your advantage would be then to go big. You have Mozgov sitting on the bench. You have Tristan Thompson.
Athletic 6'2", athletic 6'11", as your front court. Or I'm sorry, 7'2", 6'11". Like,
and you have Channing Frye sitting on the bench. Like, you can bring him in and like just let him hit threes. From like, he's 7 foot and he can hit a
you
three.
You could conceivably run all three of those at the same time if you wanted to.
Yeah. And let LeBron play shooting guard. That would be our point guard. Dude. Yeah,
let him run the offense and put Kyrie.
And what does Golden State do about that? Like, I don't even know what the answer to that
is. You still have to run with Golden State, but that's at the same thing. Time, like, I think one of the reasons Draymond's played dirty is because he gets frustrated when he plays guys who are bigger and stronger than him.
Well, he is undersized, right?
Right. So. I think he gets visibly frustrated, though.
Yeah.
When he gets pushed around, I think he likes it.
OKC definitely used that to their advantage. Like, they almost got him fucking, you know, like suspended for a game by just
personally, I think he should have been. Goes into it too of why I think OKC should have won that series.
Right. He probably should have been. As we talked about before, when who was it? Dante Jones, like,
right,
elbowed.
I think it was.
Yeah.
Was it Dante Jones?
Was it that? I think maybe.
And the Toronto series.
I don't even know if he elbowed. He straight up, he punched him right in the nuts. Like, right. There's been so many. Can you think of another series?
Well, first of all, I think it happens all the time in sports. They just don't call it.
Yeah, right. Or you just don't notice.
But the other thing, too, about the Dante Jones one and why it's a little bit smarter, and I think it was interesting, is that Dante Jones doesn't matter.
Right, right.
He can lose a game. So go punch someone in the balls.
Yeah.
So that's what an enforcer is for. It's a player who's not that great that you could lose.
Yeah, exactly. Like in hockey. Out. Like, just put him in for a couple minutes.
So it blows my mind that Draymond was doing it.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's the thing. Like, Draymond plays with a lot of emotions. It's his plus and his minus.
Yeah, but if you're coached well, you should have a player on the bench. I think Varejao, that's his role. Just being generally a dick. No pun intended, but like just being a dick.
The thing about Varejao is like he's kind of like a really soft big guy. I feel like
And when they played the Blazers, he was tripping people. He was acting like a total punk.
Yeah, fair enough.
He's a flopper. He can't do anything
anymore. He's definitely a flopper. But he seems like a pillow.
Dude, does he get a ring either way?
Yeah.
He does, right?
Wait, either way. Cleveland cut him, right?
Yeah. He was on Cleveland at the beginning of the season for a while.
I think he gets a ring either way.
I don't know. I think Marv Albert mentioned it in the broadcast, and I don't think I heard the resolve of whether or not it's true. But
holy shit, I didn't even think of that.
He might get a ring no matter who wins.
Is that like the first time in NBA history?
I'm not a historian.
Yeah, well, I'm not an NBA historian.
What are you a historian of? Anthrax?
Joe Borelli. Anthrax, yeah.
The band.
The band, not the disease.
Yeah, the band, not the disease.
So that tells you more about me than I want you to know, but there you go.
What, that you love Anthrax?
Yeah, exactly.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I didn't say there was. I'm just saying, like,
why don't you want people to know it? I was just quiet over there. He doesn't have an answer for why he doesn't want people to know that he loves the band Anthrax.
Who doesn't love Anthrax? Great band.
I think Anthrax is okay. They're A-okay.
Listen, we should, you know what, over the summer when we're talking about stuff that we have that is nothing related to basketball.
Do you
want to
do a full Anthrax podcast?
Not Anthrax, but we should do a full on 80s metal.
Limit it to 4.5 hours.
Yeah, fuck it. Why not? Just only 4.5 hours. Although you don't go deep with 80s metal, but I feel
I don't. I don't go deep.
But I feel like you can give a
lot of... Is Bon Jovi metal?
I will smack you. I'll smack that look right off
your face. They had hair, right?
Anyway, by the way, I saw a dude like my, like not my age, but like a 50-year-old dude the other day walking down the street.
Age.
Yeah. Motherfucker. I'm like walking to work. I'm all dressed nice. Yeah. I see a dude walking by me who's a construction worker. He has a Slayer t-shirt on.
Yeah.
I looked at him. I was like, nice shirt. Yeah. He's like, thanks.
Yeah.
Hey, I can recognize.
Did you get his number?
I did.
Cool.
All right, I'll edit that part out. Too far? Did I go too far?
I don't know if you went. You went there. I don't know. Since we have no audience, we can't go too far. That's you true. Can only go too far if you have an audience.
That's good. That's a good point. I think maybe I'll reel it in at some point.
We will get zero angry letters about that.
Yeah, all our sponsorship is gone now. Jesus. Anyway, so. Here's my question, though, and there's one thing that, like, people are bringing up, like, and by people, I mean, you know, podcasts that I listen to, like, everyone is talking about. What happens when Cleveland...
Going into their echo chamber? Or
what's yeah, let's go on? Into the echo chamber just a little bit. So when we think that Cleveland is going to leave, we think that it's... lose. We think that it's an eventuality. What happens when Cleveland loses his series? Do you think they trade Kyrie? They trade Kevin Love? Like, what would they, what do you think they,
whatever LeBron wants, Dan Gilbert will do.
So that's it?
I think they give Tristan Thompson $100 million more dollars. I think whoever LeBron feels might have taken a sandwich from the fridge gets cut. Whatever petty indignity LeBron felt gets cut from the team. His friends are get $250 million.
You think he's tyrannical?
Dan Gilbert is insane, and I think that LeBron's a tyrant, yes.
Yeah, tyrant. Okay, yes. So LeBron's a tyrant.
But a petty, passive-aggressive tyrant.
That's terrible.
But also one of the greatest players of all time.
Yeah, fair enough. I don't think he's that much of a tyrant. I do think he's probably prone to, like, passively, aggressively, like, getting people gone. I think you have to be more outwardly aggressive to be a tyrant, right?
Not necessarily. There's petty tyrants. Most tyrants are extremely petty. Stalin was extremely petty, but he could have 40 million people killed. LeBron doesn't have that kind of juice.
Fair enough. This is not funny. I shouldn't be laughing at this.
What about Stalin killing people?
Yeah.
But I think that he was petty. Like, he was paranoid and petty because he had the power. And
that's probably true. I mean, it's definitely true. He was probably petty. You're right. All right. So being petty can be, you can still be a tyrant. Fine. That's fine. You made a good point.
I just think they're two separate.
They're obviously two separate things.
But I think a lot of tyrants are petty. It's just how much power you have to exercise that pettiness.
So we both agree that he has a lot of power within the Cleveland organization to execute whatever he feels necessary.
Great deal. I actually think that Dan Gilbert in general is out of touch.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's super rich. What was it? The Yahoo guy who called it Predatory Loans Arena.
Yeah, it's absolutely true.
And so he freaked out and tried to get him fired.
He tried to fire him. And didn't he try to sue him?
So yeah. Let's talk about petty tyrants.
That's a really good point. Oh my God.
Yeah. That nothing happened to him, but it struck a nerve so hard because he knows he made that money on other people's backs and sent a lot of people to the poorhouse so that he could pay Tristan Thompson $80 million.
Yeah. Also, I love that. Poorhouse. Where is this fucking house?
I live there. Come on by sometime. Right, cool. It's my house.
Can we have
that's
a beer?
The poorhouse.
Do they have beers at the poorhouse?
And ramen noodles. Like, I'm still in fucking college.
Aw.
I'm joking. I never went to college.
Oh, you fucking liar. Did you go to college?
Yeah. See what you know about me?
I know all kinds of shit about you.
No. All right.
Way too much about you. I know how beautiful your deep blue eyes are. Anyway,
we should take a break.
Yeah. All right, let's get a beer.
All right.
Be right back.
Staring at my eyes.
We were going to talk about, you know what? We were going to talk about some free agents. Actually, no. We were going to talk about the NBA draft, which I haven't done enough research yet. Have you?
Yeah, I think I'd rather just save it for another day.
Yeah,
I've done a good amount. But not like you would think.
Yeah, same here. I think
versed in about 10 of the picks I'm interested in, and the rest of them I don't know enough about.
I'll say this. I'm not as high on Dragon Bender as most people are.
I'm not either, but before we get into that again, let's save it for another day. I have my reasons for not being quite as high. I think it's a great name for an M. Night Shyamalan movie. But outside of that...
I agree.
I'm not huge on Dragon Bender.
It's like a PG-13 movie, right? Dragon Bender. Bender,
yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Some animated parts. A lot maybe of CGI.
Maybe one curse.
Yeah.
Shit.
Dragon like, Bender. Like, you brought her.
Oh, damn. I was going to say, like, in the Transformers movie when they said shit that one time and they had to make it PG-13.
Oh, yeah. The 80s one. Yeah, yeah. The cartoon one. Still one of the greatest movies
it's
ever
really
made.
It's really good, right?
It's really good. And
that was
it,
last,
it holds
the
up
last
well.
Orson Welles. Orson Welles.
Yeah, roll.
Was it really Orson Welles?
Was it Galvatron
Welles?
That he played?
Yeah, no.
If I just pulled that out of thin air, was it Galvatron?
I feel like it was Optimus Prime.
No, he played the giant planet.
Oh, then that
was coming to eat everything.
That was Planimus Maximus. Hold on, I'll go back and check
it out. I am a grown man with a lot of worldly experience, and I totally do not own it on DVD.
Do you
for
really?
For nostalgic reasons.
Holy shit. That's all right, dude.
The only movie I could watch with my cousin I grew up with.
Listen, just between you and me and nobody that listens to this podcast, I own the first half of the first entire season of He-Man on DVD. So.
And Friends. Boom.
He-Man and Friends. There's no He-Man and Friends. It's just He-Man.
No, but and Friends on DVD.
Oh, no. I don't own Friends. But I did rewatch all 10 seasons last year when I turned 41. It was really sad. Yeah, anyway.
That right there is why I love Joe Borelli. That he rewatched 10 seasons of Friends.
10 seasons. Is only the fourth.
I've never watched one season
and
of
only
Friends.
The first
the
four
first
good.
Time through. The fact that you think any of them are good blows my mind. We're way off topic.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, basketball and stuff.
I just saw, I swear to God, I just saw one episode of Frasier last night, and it's the first time I've ever seen Frasier. Ever.
Really? I used to
ever
love
watched
Frasier.
It. Did
it was,
you?
Oh, my God, it was so good. You should watch it.
No. I watched one episode last night.
And what'd you think?
I laughed.
It was good. It's fun.
Once.
Come on. Which is probably one more time than you watch. Laugh at any other sitcom, right?
I don't know. It was weird. Let's get back on topic. So we're not talking trades. What are we talking?
Well, you want to talk about, all right, so I have a topic that I really want to talk about, and I know you're.
Can I propose one?
Go.
I would like to talk about Nerlens Noel.
That was going
to
be
the
my
rumor
topic.
That he was going to be traded for Jeff Teague.
Yeah. I hope at some point we'll have some Blazers things to talk about, too.
We won't. Your obsession with the Sixers will constantly push the topics that we talk about here.
It should be just a Sixers podcast.
I like the Blazers, but you are obsessed with the Sixers.
I kind of am obsessed with the Sixers, yeah. No. I'm sorry. I blame you. Anyway, so this week there was news that came out that the Sixers were in talks to trade Nerlens Noel to Atlanta for Jeff Teague. And then later in the week, another report came out that they were also going to include Robert Covington and somebody else. Oh, Stauskas, Nick Stauskas. Like, they would be giving up three players. Like, Nick Stauskas, fine, give him. I don't really give a shit. I don't think he's all that. I like Nick Stauskas, but I don't think he's going to be any more than a role player.
I loved Stauskas in college.
Right, but he's not translating that
well. I thought he would have been a better pro, but I also thought he shouldn't have gone in the top 15 in the draft.
Yeah, no.
I thought he was drafted way too high. I thought he'd be a role player in the NBA.
And the thing about it is, like, I like Nick Stauskas, too. I think the only thing that is holding Nick Stauskas back is Nick Stauskas' head that doesn't work quite right.
Is he not that sharp?
I don't think he's the sharpest knife in the cabinet. No. Right. I mean, I'm not saying he's a dummy, but I'm not also not saying that.
I don't know. It's just the impression I've gotten or what I've heard about him.
I think he's a nice guy. And I think he tries really
he's
hard.
A nice guy. The ultimate non sequitur compliment. It's like when you talk to someone, you're like, you seem smart. It's sort of like, you didn't say I was smart.
Whatever. I heard him talk on a podcast, the RTRS podcast. I give these guys shouts out all the time. I'm sorry. It's not on purpose. But anyway, I heard him talking on a podcast. He seemed like a good dude that was like really hardworking and blah, blah, blah. Like every guy.
So you don't care.
Every fucking guy in the NBA is really hardworking.
Right.
I think he's fine. I just think he hasn't lived up to his potential yet. But the point is, like, I've watched him play all year last year, and like, he's fine. He started out rough and he came
serviceable,
around. Serviceable. He's serviceable. He can come off your bench and give you some threes.
What are you thinking, like, ninth, tenth man?
11th.
Really? That far down the bench?
Yeah.
He's, so doesn't really play unless someone's hurt.
Yeah. I mean, on a good team. Not on the Sixers. He's the starting two guard for the Sixers. On a good team is your 11th, 12th man.
Did they ever discuss changing the name of the Sixers to the ninth man? Five ninth man?
The 5'9". Ow. I don't know.
Instead of 7'6"
yeah,
five
seven,
ninth
six,
man?
Yeah, I get it. All right. But you're just insulting me because I'm 5'9 on a good day.
I didn't know that. I've always thought you were 6'7.
Well, I am bigger in life than I am in stature. As we
emotionally, you're a giant.
Emotionally, I'm retarded. Go on didn't mean that. All right. I didn't mean that. Anyway, forget it. I'm gonna take that part out. So, but I do really like Robert Covington, who I think he's got a really long career as like sixth man. Like, I think he could be a sixth man on a good team.
From what I saw at Covington, I don't think he's a sixth man.
No?
No, I think he's a role player off the bench, same as Stauskas. And I agree with you, actually, in being realistic, that Stauskas is an 11th or 12th guy off your bench or practice squad or D-League star. The guy's very athletic for a white guy. Can I say that, or is that not fair?
You can, but I don't know if it's like really...
Edit it out.
If I can't edit my shit out, I'm not editing yours. I just don't get
that. No, I think that when people are surprised by athleticism, they never actually say the second part of what they mean to say.
Yeah.
Oh, where they're like, he's very athletic, so athletic, but they don't add the dot, 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 which is all these analysts mean for a white guy.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think throw it out there, but then it sounds like it's coming from my heart. I'm self-aware when I say it.
I really want... I know you are. I know you are.
I just... I don't like that, like, analysts will say it without saying it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, no, I get what you're saying. The same way they'll be like, yeah, he's a very intelligent player.
It goes back to that, like, the just built-in racism, like, all the... Oh, right.
We don't need to get on that rant, but that's kind of what I was... The joke I was trying to make.
Yeah, I know you are.
But it came off as an earnest, like, he's athletic for a white guy. Right. I don't believe that for a second.
I know you don't. But now that I'm glad we qualified it, because now I can leave it in and okay. Feel okay.
There you go. But I think Covington's like a seventh or eighth man. I don't think he's a sixth man.
I think he can be a sixth man. I think his defense has gotten so much better. He's like, he's a good on ball defender. And he can, when he's feeling it, he can hit threes like crazy.
So
his problem is he can't really dribble that well. He can't take it into the lane and he can't like, I mean, he can
right, and
on
that's
occasion.
Why he's the seventh or eighth man.
Right, but if you're, yeah, you're probably right. Because the sixth man, you really want to be able to handle the ball. So, okay.
You want to come and be instant offense in multiple ways off the bench.
Right. You want him to be able to create their
Jamal
own shot.
Jamal Crawford. You want
exactly.
him to be Jamal Crawford.
Jamal Crawford can create his own shot.
Right, yeah.
Covington isn't, he really can't at this point.
I think, for me, when I think of sixth man, I think of Jamal Crawford in his prime. I think Enes Kanter is a great sixth man. He's instant offense.
He is instant offense.
He will put points right in the basket. But in the 80s, that's like what the sixth man was in the
right.
early 90s.
Right.
Was instant offense. When your offense was like lulling, you put him in. Boom, you're scoring points again.
But we've veered so far off this.
The point, which is we're starting to analyze players instead of talking about Nerlens Noel. Was anybody else from Atlanta included in this proposed
trade? All I've heard was that it was Noel for Teague. And here's my thing. First of all, I will not apologize for loving Nerlens Noel. I think he's amazing in his defense. He's probably never going to get there as an offensive player. I can live with that. There are a list. I was looking at the internet again the other day, and Derek Bodner from Philly Voice, I think, or something. And he used to write for Liberty Ballers, and he's a very smart guy. He does Philly, the Sixers Beat podcast. You should listen to it. It's really good. He's a very smart guy. He put up the entire list of players who have averaged the number of steals and blocks and, I don't know, I think it was just steals and blocks, that Nerlens Noel has in his first 2 years. You ready? Nerlens Noel and David Robinson.
For blocks?
For blocks and steals. Like, there's two players that have ever averaged that many, that have compiled that many.
As a rookie.
In their first 2 years.
Okay, so because like, Akeem Olajuwon has to be up there. As do a couple other players. Akeem Olajuwon's the greatest shot blocker of all time, and he got steals left and right.
But for the first 2 years, the number of...
I know, this is for the first 2 years.
All right, fine, whatever. I'm just saying that, like...
Though.
Nerlens Noel and David
I think as far as a sample size, it's a hyper-specific sample size.
It's a very short sample
size. Like, I could be like, there was one day last month where, like, I did one thing. And you know who else did that? George Washington. Me and George Washington. One day last month.
I get it. I get the small sample size argument. I'm just saying
that, like... As opposed to a career.
It's a good start, and he's a really good defensive player. I think that Nerlens Noel, who is only 22 years old and is already a defensive rim protector... And, like, the dude is so athletic, he can get out on the wing and defend on the wing. For a 6'11 dude, he's got so much value. He's got so much athleticism.
You don't think there's an emotional attachment to the process ending?
There's and that he also was the an star emotional attachment
of the process. One of the few things that worked with the process.
Absolutely.
And that you're emotionally attached denying. To that. And if I he am, goes, I you're am, not overvaluing him.
I am totally overvaluing an emotional.
End of an era.
I don't know about that. I no, think I'm that saying would be Joel
if
Embiid.
He goes.
No, I think that would be Joel Embiid.
He's never played for you.
Yeah, I know, but he
You
was,
can't even say anything about how good he is.
You don't even understand the process.
No, I don't understand the psychosis the trusting, of the process.
And the trusting
I think
of
I understand
process.
The process.
Listen, Noel, I think, has so much value as a defender. Like, we've seen in this playoffs.
Is
like
he up
you,
to be re-signed right now?
That's the thing. He has... So he's going to be up for a contract the same time as Teague.
Mm-hmm.
Here, let me get to my point. Jeff Teague is 29 years old. Or, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, he's 28 years old. I think he's going to be turned... Maybe we should shut the window because there's a storm brewing.
That's weird. Sorry, yeah. Let's just keep going. Jeff Teague's going to be 28 years old?
He's 28 years old. He's going to be 29, I think.
Okay.
Anyway, he's on the last year of his contract.
Mm-hmm.
With the way the salary cap is rising, he's going to be due for a huge payday. Mm-hmm. Next year.
Because he's very good at basketball.
He's very good at basketball. I think he's probably a top 15 point guard in the league, which you don't give up a guy with Nerlens Noel's potential for a on the wrong side of your 20s point guard for 1 year.
I disagree with you, by the way. But
yeah, but listen, here's the thing.
No, go ahead.
Give me your opinion.
Wrong side of your 20s, I think, is completely a wrong way to look at it. Wrong side of your 20s doesn't mean shit. All it means is that Jeff Teague has finished his developmental point. On his 20s, you peak from 27 to 33 in the NBA, which means you're getting the peak Jeff Teague right when he starts to peak in his career. You don't necessarily want the developmental years. You're not going to get the best out of a player, which is what you're doing with all the players in Philly is like all developmental years. So I'm saying that if you look at it as a negative, the wrong side of your 20s, like saying the wrong side, in terms of like an NBA career, he's peaking right now, and he's going to peak for 5 to 6 years.
Not necessarily. Also,
how not necessarily?
He's going to go downhill quick. It's been shown. Like, there's graphs all over the internet. Like, after you hit 27 and 28 are like your prime years, like, and you start to slowly trail off until you hit 33 and it's over. Anyway,
I don't think that's true at all.
But that's not even the point.
Well,
if
you can't make that and then push it aside without me reacting to it.
Here's the point, though.
That's not a debate if you just, like, make a point and then you're like, but that doesn't matter. Here's my point.
Well, all right. So your point is valid, yes. But your point makes sense for a different team. For this team, if you're drafting Ben Simmons, by the way, who's probably going to play a lot of point guard because that's really what he is.
So are they drafting Ben Simmons?
I believe so. From every indication.
I believe he's,
Jesus
he's
Christ,
gonna
I hope
be a,
they do.
A point forward.
Right.
Not a point guard.
Right. But for all intents and purposes, he's going to play a lot of point. He's going to handle the ball a lot, as he should, because that's his strength. So if you draft Ben Simmons, who's, what, 19 years old, 20 years old? By the time he's good... And by the time, like, the rest of the guys, the young guys on your team develop, like, let's say Joel Embiid plays this year and he really develops into and he stays healthy and becomes what everyone thinks that he could be.
Which he hasn't done for 2 years. And every center who hasn't done it for 2 years didn't make it in the NBA.
That's fine.
Sam Bowie, Greg Odom. Those are your models going forward.
Okay, that's fine. So if Joel Embiid, here's another thing. If Joel Embiid never plays, he never stays healthy, why the fuck would you give up Nerlens Noel? Because I would much rather have him as my center than Jahlil Okafor, who doesn't play a goddamn lick of defense and all he can do is score. He slows down the offense. He's too slow a foot. He can't defend shit. Trade Okafor. Don't trade Noel. It makes no goddamn sense. By the time these guys are... So you're getting the number one pick, whoever it ends up being. He's supposedly your superstar, right? Hopefully Joel Embiid will also be one of your superstars. By the time those guys are old enough, by the time they hit their mid-20s, you want them to be like, you want to be in the playoffs and challenging for a championship. By that time, Jeff Teague is already going to be on the wrong side of 30. You're going to end up over...
Why do you keep saying the
wrong
side?
You're going to end up overpaying him next year if you want to keep him. By the way, unrestricted free agent next year, you're getting him for a one-year rental, and you're giving up Nerlens Noel, who has all the potential in the world to be a defensive stalwart. I'm just saying this trade makes no fucking sense, especially if you're throwing in two other players. Do you see my point?
No, I completely disagree with you, but I still disagree with you.
Give me your point. Give me
no,
your...
No, I don't want to, because
what
I just
do you think, what
got
do you
ranted
think?
At. You feel so passionate about this that anything I say counter is going to be might be taken personally, which I don't want it to be.
Well, I'm not going to take it personally. I just, but I do. What,
but that's listen, a lot of minutia, like going through all of that. I think.
But
see,
isn't every team built on minutia? Like, doesn't every team, like, you have to consider these things when you're building? You have to, like, but, the smart people take all the factors into account. What it feels like to me is that
I haven't said anything.
I know again. You talked about the Sixers. This is your fault.
No, I have no point to make. Just finish out ranting, and we'll call it good because I can't make a point here.
Please make a point. I'm sorry.
No, please just lecture me on the minutia of the fucking Sixers.
I'm not lecturing you.
I totally
you.
Don't care.
I'm not lecturing you. I'm not
it
lecturing.
It feels
you.
Like lecturing because I can't say anything.
I'm sorry. I'm passionate.
All I hear is that wrong side. Jeff Ting is wrong, wrong, wrong. You keep repeating it like Donald Trump, like wrong, wrong, wrong.
Yeah, you're right.
I think Jeff Ting is a fantastic player. I think he's entering his prime right now. I think he put on a team where he could be a star and he's not getting pushed aside by management. I think he'd be fucking fantastic. I think big picture wise, the Sixers have three centers. They have to give up one of them. Not everyone wants Okafor. No one wants Embiid right now because Embiid hasn't proven he can play. If you have to trade one of the assets you have, and all the Sixers have in terms of assets are centers. They have three fucking centers. They have to get a point guard. They have to get someone for the backcourt. Even if they get Ben Simmons, who's going to play point forward, which isn't a backcourt position. Right now, Jeff Teague, who is an insanely good defender, insanely good at the point guard position. So if you're not having him handle the ball, let's say you give it to a rookie his first season to handle the ball. It's not necessarily a great idea, especially someone who hasn't shown anything. Ben Simmons, you're doing this all on prospect. He hasn't shown a lot that he's going to prove to be the talent that people said he was going to be in high school. So you're getting a guaranteed commodity entering its prime who, if Ben Simmons doesn't work out, you can have him handle the ball the first couple of years of Ben Simmons' career to let Ben Simmons ease into the NBA. You have to give up an asset to get anything. Noel is the only asset that anybody wants at this point. I don't know that people necessarily... You could maybe shove off an Okafor on an LA team or a big market team that has to do something. But a team like Atlanta that doesn't have to make a move, that's doing very well for their market size and what they're doing, they don't have to just give stuff up. You need to give something in return. And as far as Noel, how far he's gone, not having any offense at that position, he's been playing power forward. I think you're basing his overall value on his potential, which I don't disagree with, but you're still basing it on something that hasn't happened yet. And all you can do in terms of like a commodities trade is based on current value, and that's proven value. And so Noel's proven value is
a defensive stopper.
Right. That's my point. And that's why I don't necessarily think it's bad. And one last point is big picture wise, I don't totally disagree with you about Colangelo. I think you're a little reactive about it. But big picture wise, he's got to fill out the team. And point guard is a major point that he's not necessarily going to make up with immediately on the draft. And it's the most important position in the NBA right now.
I agree with everything you said. The thing is, I'm not disagreeing with you. And by the way, just for the record, I really like Teague.
I knew this was a Philly thing and you're going to get passionate about it. I just wanted a moment to make my point. You can go ahead and slam me. I won't react.
I'm not
go for it. Those are my feelings on it. I just wanted to get on my point. That's why I wanted to talk to you about it.
But this is not personal. This has nothing to do with you.
It feels personal when you talk about the
Sixers.
That's
because like there's lightning bolts shooting out of my eyes aimed at the Colangelos.
I get your point too. But the part of the thing too is that I don't love the Colangelos, but when we talk, you and I have to defend them because I couldn't possibly say something negative or just gets redundant and we go down a hole together.
Yeah, and then we
and have negative
Sixers
points
podcast.
To make. Right. But I have to take, if it's a conversation, I have to play devil's advocate
on
some of this.
It absolutely is a conversation. I appreciate you giving the alternate side. The thing is, like, here, let me say that, like, I don't dislike Teague.
Finish this out. This is your point to make.
Yeah. Dude,
finish it out.
I really like Jeff Teague. I think as a basketball player, he's a really good basketball player, and I would love to have him on the Sixers, just not for Nerlens Noel. It just doesn't make any sense. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would give up. Fine. I'll give up. Like, if you want Robert Covington and Nick Stauskas and somebody else, fine. Take Jahlil Okafor. Fine. Take Jahlil and the 24th and 26th picks. Fine. I know that's not enough to get it done, but
they won't give up Jeff Teague for that.
No. That's right. But what I'm saying is, like, you don't give up. It just doesn't make sense. Like, Nerlens Noel is the insurance for Joel Embiid. If Joel Embiid never plays, you cannot have Jahlil Okafor fill that spot. He's not athletic enough. That dude has every potential in the world to be a great offensive player. But he's not right for the team that they've built to this point. It just doesn't make any fucking sense.
They've built to this point. It's now Colangelo's team.
I know.
It's a different...
And this
he's
is
building a different car.
He's building
for
a different team. I don't know, and I realize that he needs to show the league that, like, hey, we're serious now. We want to win now, and like that's fine. I also think that you can get
people know that about him. I don't think he has to show them.
Right.
They know it about him. He has a long history.
The other thing is, I think you can get a good point guard without having to give up Noel. I think you can get another point guard who's younger, who's good.
It's interesting to me that you brought up Simmons, because it means you're clearly entrenched still in the idea of a development. And the Sixers is a development team, which part of it, I think emotionally, you get to own the players. But the other part of it is that you're still 5-6 years off of them being good if you're going to wait on the development.
But that's obvious. Like, that's always the team that drafts number one. That is just built into the pick. Like, that is what your team is. You're a shitty team.
But already, you're at least projecting 10 years of irrelevance for the Sixers by doing that.
I mean,
Colangelo is going to try to make them relevant now.
Is that... Yeah, I know, and that's what worries me. Here's the thing. Like, is the 10 years of irrelevance any different than the last 20 that they went through before Hinkie? Because that's exactly what they were, and that's what exactly makes me fucking crazy. It looks like Colangelo is going to take a straight shot right back to the middle of the fucking NBA. They're going to be like the Hawks for the next 20 fucking years again. It just
there's no proof that you were going to win a championship the other way anyway.
Absolutely not. And I totally agree. But there was a chance that maybe they could strike gold. Well, I would rather risk 3 years of nothing than get right back to the middle. It just feels empty and hollow.
We're going back to the point that I feel like you're just disappointed with the way the process worked out, and we've talked about this before, and the fact that Hinkie had his shot.
No, I'm not disappointed with the way the process worked out. I'm disappointed with the ownership group that gave up on the fucking process. It makes me sad.
It didn't work. They had their shot.
It didn't have enough time. He said from the beginning.
What's the market size of Philly? Which market is it in the NBA?
Fifth overall, I believe. Okay. Yeah, I know.
That pretty much sums it up. They can't have the fifth market be dead.
And listen, I have a little bit of a conspiracy theory that, like, you know how the draft went completely script this year? I feel like... Like, it went script.
What do you everybody mean, last draft? Last year?
This no, the lottery went script this year. So, like, everybody, they landed it exactly
where they were supposed, to
land. Yeah. I feel like the Sixers may have made a deal with the NBA that said, if you get rid of
Hinkie, there's a guarantee.
And stop making yourself an embarrassment, we'll go script, and you can have the number one pick. I'm just saying...
I said that to you outside of the podcast, by the way, too. I don't disagree with you. I felt that, too.
I feel like it happens.
I felt like they threatened the pick against whatever. Let's not talk about this, because this is much, much hearsay of conspiracy.
Yeah,
but I definitely don't disagree with you.
We really went down a fucking dark road here. Anyway, did we want to talk about anything else NBA related? I mean, like, the season's wrapping up.
No, I just wanted you to get passionate on subject. That's why I really wanted to talk about Nerlens Noel, because I know you felt so attached to him.
I'm really attached to him, and I'm really upset.
I just think you massively overvalue him so far, but that's me. Not to go back down that road.
I'm going to pause for 2 seconds because it's raining like crazy and coming in through the phone.
Sounds amazing.
Does it? Yeah. You like it? You like the ambient noise?
Yeah.
All right, I'll pause for a second.
So the rain has calmed down.
Anyway, yeah, the rain kind of has stopped. We're recording now. Sorry about that. It actually did sound really nice, didn't it? Anyway, we're going to do a little random wrap-up as we do. Mike, what do you have on your mind this week? There's so much that happens in the news and not much of it good.
This week? I have nothing on my mind ever.
All right. what would you like to talk about for our random wrap-up?
I saw 5 minutes of Guardians of the Galaxy. Loved it.
Oh, was it good?
Those 5 minutes were really good.
And done.
Then I had to catch a bus because I'm living the high life over here.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Miller High Life?
I wish I could afford Miller High Life.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Poor house.
Drinking Ripple Blanc over here. Most of you are... If the two people who are listening are probably too young to get that joke.
We're down to two now? I think we were 8 and steady.
We alienated them with all the political talk. Six of them were like, ugh.
Sorry, that was my bad. If you want to talk about like really bad fucking superhero movies and the state of superhero movie, I am totally into that.
What'd you see?
Well, I was on the way from Rhode Island to New York City last weekend. On my way back.
Traveling man,
yeah. Mm-hmm. My wife and I were on the bus. And,
escaping the law.
Escaping the law. And I came back for some dumb reason. Yeah. We got stuck in traffic on 95 South, as you would imagine would happen on Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah. You drove on Memorial Day weekend?
No, I didn't. We were on a bus.
It's still on.
Yeah, it's still dumb.
Still your fault.
Yeah, well, hey, there was a wedding. We had to go to a wedding. It was very important.
A dark joke.
Yeah. Go ahead. Give me your dark joke.
Nah, keep going.
All right, fine. So we hit traffic, and the bus driver was like, all right, we're going to be sitting in traffic for a while, but I have a movie for you guys. If you want to watch it, just let me know. And one of the guys yells out, he's like, what's the movie? So he put on the movie. Sadly, no one told me how to turn on the microphone or the speaker above my seat, so I couldn't. I could barely hear any of the movie, the dialogue. But the movie was Superman versus Batman.
Oh, so he had an illegal copy? Is that what's going on?
I don't know. I think it was a legal copy. I think it was like.
Is that out on DVD already?
It was a terrible fucking movie. It's probably on VHS right now. So, yeah, it was a really bad movie. I mean, it looked like from the previews. Did you see any of the previews on TV or online?
Just a couple seconds of it, yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
I was never a DC man growing up. Me neither. I say man when I was like 10 years old and loved comic books.
Yeah.
I was a Marvel guy.
Same here, buddy. And here's the thing. Here's the big difference between DC and Marvel.
One takes place in the real world and one takes place in a fantasy world?
Exactly. I can't get down with like, this takes place in...
What is the voice you're doing?
I have no idea right now. It's my half-drunk voice. I don't know. It's like, welcome to Gotham City.
No, I will say this. The Christopher Nolan Batman movies were
phenomenal.
Fucking-tastic as far as superhero movies go.
Best. Three of the best.
But I tend to agree with you. That DC, it's a lot harder to make it function, at least in terms of an adult movie. And if that's what you want out of superheroes, like which I do, maybe there's something wrong with me.
No.
To be adult?
Whatever. I think like a lot of adults indulge in it. Dude, I watch so much.
No, they do. I'm still not saying it's right. I'm saying our grandfathers would have kicked our fucking asses if they were the same age right now. They're like, oh, you like cartoons and pages? Yeah, great. Yeah.
How about this?
I killed foreigners in World War II.
Yeah.
I dug mass graves. Yeah. Enjoy your superhero movies.
Yeah, you stupid asshole.
This is what I fought for.
Yeah, this is what I fought for?
By the way, I love superhero movies.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think a lot of us do. That was particularly awful movie. And here's the thing too. Like, I think the strategy has been from DC for whatever dumb reason, rather than going like super intellectual. Like, I think the Christopher Nolan films were brilliant. Brilliant. They were, heavy enough.
The second one was fantastic.
Second one was like one of the, not that movie superseded the comic book genre. It was that good.
I agree with you. Yeah.
It went into a psychological thriller and that was really impressive.
You know also that Superman versus Batman is the first of several films that DC basically gave the keys to the car to this couple that's doing Wonder Woman. They get to do several of these movies, and they're setting up the entire DC universe, the two of them.
Yeah, I know. It's terrible. They should take it all back. You know the same guy that did... did you ever see the Superman reboot movie? Not the one that we both like that doesn't get in, like Superman Returns.
The other one that didn't make any sense and was about Jesus?
Yeah, it was all about Jesus. Yeah, yeah, that one that I saw with my wife in the theater.
There's nothing more trite or like hard to get through than when someone uses the parallel of Jesus in a movie that's about something else because just in the Western world, you already know the story and you get it. And if you don't pick it up that they're just going for the Jesus thing, I feel bad for you as a viewer.
Yeah. Well, it's not. It's just, yeah, you're right.
There's better metaphors or better, like, I don't know what you call it, archetypes to work off of. I mean, the Bible's the best archetype of all time, don't get me wrong.
Right, and I understand
that. But there are other archetypes intellectually that you can work with, and it's maybe easy.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, the Bible, I think, is the easiest thing. He leaned on it.
That's what I'm saying.
So heavy. Yeah, right.
As an archetype.
So, yes.
It's easy as a writer to do that. I'm not saying it's bad, because it's been done extremely well.
It's bad in this form.
It's bad for really superheroes.
It's bad for superhero movies. You're taking, the most nonsensical, escapist fantasy kind of thing and attaching it to another escapist fantasy. Oh, let me not talk
easy
anything about
that. We just talked about sorry, not talking about religion.
But you're attaching it to
progressives in New York.
But you're attaching it to something that is like the basis for a lot of people's lives. Like, and you're diminishing one thing
by making it consumerist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Also trying to raise up that thing at the same time. Like, it's just, it's really lazy.
I just think it's trite.
But. And it's trite, and it's dumb. Like, you could have done a lot of other things with it. Like, we all get the Jesus archetype. Like, we get it.
So the only franchise that I've enjoyed recently, and we can't even talk about it because I haven't seen Civil War yet, is the Captain America franchise. Mm. I really liked Winter Soldier, and I liked the first one.
I haven't seen it.
And I feel like a couple of people were just like, I've talked to a couple of people, and they're just surprised.
Yeah.
Because the way I think about movies and stuff like that I enjoy those. I think they're so well done. I think they're cynical. They're dark. They're kind of what I want out of a superhero movie. How could you be straightforward with a character named Captain America?
That's true.
If you did, it would be awful.
Well, you could do it straightforward in the 1940s
just,
when we were in World War II.
Just to wrap your head around the character and make it work, you'd have to be pretty intellectual about it.
Yeah.
And I think they did a great job. And I haven't seen the third one, but I think they did a great job on the first two.
Before we get into that, let me go back to my point about the Superman series, right? So, like...
Okay, let's get back to Superman.
I'm sorry. We're going to go back into Captain America, because I totally agree with you. I think it's a way better... But I did have a point.
Okay.
Instead of... Because... And I feel like it's a direct result of DC having this alternate universe, this, like, fake world that they made up. They've gone down this path that Marvel has not gone down. Marvel keeps their things a little bit light... And still destructive, but still rooted in the real world. But Marvel or DC has gone down this path where, like, their films are not only super dark, they're also really darkly filmed, and they're just fucking depressing. There's, like, no good. Like, Superman, when we were growing up, was a hero. He stood for good and right, and everything was, like, good. And now he just, like, demolishes entire cities and doesn't, like, really give a shit about the people that are getting, like, entire... fucking cities, like millions of people would be wiped out. It's just, it's not fun to watch. It's like watching 9/11 over and over again.
What's that got to do with Captain America?
Nothing. This was my point about DC and how I'm like out on that whole franchise.
You're out on DC as a whole?
Yeah, which is sad because I think Christopher Nolan's Batmans were brilliant.
Well, I don't know what other characters they have. The Justice League, they have Green Lantern.
Well, and this is all setting up for Justice League too.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's all.
Why are they both setting up for their team? Superhero movies.
I know, when you can do so much with the individual.
It's basically
characters.
Like the wrestling thing, if you get them all together.
It's totally wrestling. Yeah. And it's way more apparent with DC than it is with
Marvel.
Marvel,
and
I
the
think.
Avengers?
Yeah. I mean, the Avengers are already there, so it feels like, hey, whatever. But let's go back to the, how do you feel about the entire, like, canon, I guess, of superhero movies? How does this play a part in our society all of a sudden? Like, it's such a huge...
This is the point I made before, though.
Yeah.
It read something briefly, but I also think it's true that basically, like, the sign of the popularity of superhero movies, and we're going to get immediately into politics, though.
We're going to go lightly.
It
we're
nods
tread lightly.
Towards the acceptance of fascism.
Yeah.
Which is that, like, these are the rules. There's right and wrong, and there's an absolutist way to apply the rules. You don't have to think. And that's commonly... That's actually why I like the Captain America movies.
Because
they're
trending.
Not quite that simple.
Right.
Whereas a lot of them, they are, with the righteous central character, which you... project yourself into. But not to get too much into politics, but there's somebody running right now who comes across somewhat as a fascist, and
somewhat.
The acceptance of fascist politics reflected in the rise of superhero movies. The parallel that's being drawn is pretty interesting to me.
By the way,
at this moment, this is the conversation we had off mic that we kind of wanted to hint at without going fully into it.
By the way, do you feel like, I feel like in some sort of weird way that, like, the popularity of these films has sort of enabled or set up a platform for this candidate to really succeed? Like, the popularity of WWE and superhero movies.
Totally don't disagree with
and
you.
And, like, oh, everything's
but
right.
I also think it's a reciprocal effect of Cold War propaganda. And also the fact that Western society builds everything into a dichotomy of good or evil.
Right.
Like, there's the Russians, there's the Americans, there's good, there's evil, there's right, there's wrong. And I'm not trying to make any sort of argument about moral relativism.
Right.
I definitely am not, or about anybody's personal beliefs. I just think it's interesting that in terms of, like, structurally through story, that, like, breaking it down into that dichotomy, that, like, people are so willing in mass to accept it. I find that fascinating reflexively into how politics are working at this moment, not to get into politics.
All right. So we'll steer off the politics.
I'm definitely dancing around the point, but if anybody is listening, which I don't think is the case, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
Somebody's listening. Especially after I hashtag
the baby Jesus is always listening.
Especially after I hashtag superhero movies on this podcast.
Do you?
We're gonna get I will. We're gonna get a whole lot of people. I'm gonna hashtag.
They're not gonna listen to the last 45 minutes of bullshit to get to this 15 minutes of bullshit.
That's true. I feel like we have these really good nuggets of, like, really good conversation that we would have in our normal lives that have nothing to do with basketball. The thing is, for us, like, the whole way this entire podcast started is because we would always, like, have lots to talk about, and basketball would always sort of, like,
supersede everything.
Yeah,
we just end up talking about sports. It originally was football and basketball, and then it just became an obsession with basketball.
It's true. It's absolutely true. But now we can just get that out, and then we can talk about whatever the fuck we want to. So anyway, I think some of the worthwhile franchises, and, like, I haven't seen the Guardians of the Galaxy, although I heard that was, like, the best superhero movie.
I enjoyed the 5-10 minutes of it I saw. That's my 4-star review.
It's great. I am a bigger fan of Marvel, although I'm, like, you know, I do feel like they take it a little bit lightly. I feel like it's a little bit dumbed down for a child audience at times, which is smart on their part. And it is a Disney, it is a Disney conglomerate, so it makes perfect sense. But I also appreciate that they don't go super dark like DC does, and just like it's just like it's just a fucking slog to get through. It's just depressing and miserable. No. Like, I don't like it. I, like, since that last Superman movie and the Batman versus Superman. By the way, I don't care what fucking Batman does. I love Batman as an idea. There's no way he could compete with Superman. I know he shot him with fucking kryptonite. Fine, whatever. The other thing about it is,
get Superman, your disappointment.
Superman, I hate as a character. I loved him in the 40s. Like, did you ever watch those old 40s or 50s cartoons? The 50s Superman cartoons?
Not, no.
They were awesome. Superman started out as a guy who could leap a tall building in a single bound. Leap. He could not fly. The dude could never fly. He was more like the Hulk. They've made him this super powerful, omnipotent being, Christ. And you can't fucking relate to that at all. There's no part of me that can, like, be imposed onto that figure.
Yeah. Well, it's, he's got alienating. Kryptonite. He's got a weakness. That's not true. Much.
Yeah. Right, not much. It's just right. The tiny little bit of, like, there's a little bit of rocks all over the world that can kind of bring it down. Anyway.
And that said, that I just don't have time to go see superhero movies, but I wish I did. And I would go see all of them. Because I can't. Whatever. I just enjoy it. That's one of my great escapist moments where I don't have to think about the world.
You and me both.
Regardless of fascist politics aside.
Yeah, right. Actually, I think the last... didn't we go to see Hellboy 2 together? I think it was the last time I went to see...
I feel like that's 8 years
ago. It probably is 8 years ago, yeah. It wasn't that great of a movie, but I was glad.
I don't go to the movies that often anymore because the experience is awful.
It's terrible.
It's the entire experience from paying like $20 to get in, to popcorn, the food that's offered, to the fact you can't drink a beer while you're in there. Oh, yeah. Like an adult, like
I'm a grown ass man.
Yeah.
I want a fucking beer.
Yeah. On the West Coast, they do it. There's a lot of theaters that you can do it.
There are a few around here now, I think.
Yeah.
I know there's one that just opened up, I think on the Upper West Side or something, that they have actually reclining chairs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like...
nice for New York to catch up 20 years later.
Yeah.
To what the rest of the country's already done.
No, I mean, but they're like, they're not just reclining chairs. They're like Lazy Boys. Like, you can kick back and you're like, oh, really?
Everybody I was just visiting my cousin in Alaska. And in one of their main movie theaters, they have recliners and have for years. And you can just have a recliner.
Shit.
In Alaska. So it's nice that New York City is catching up with Alaska.
With Alaska, yeah. Hey, New York, get with the times. What the fuck?
Yeah, a little bit.
Anyway.
All right. It was good talking to you. Thanks for listening or not listening.
Oh, come on.
Not you. I'm talking to our listeners.
Oh, they're not listening.
Oh, shout out to Mike DeRonco, our
listener. Shit. I wanted to do a quick...
Dirty D.
We wanted to do a quick... I wanted to wrap up real quick. I got to do a listener... Like, I keep saying, if you listen to us and give us some questions, we'll shout you out. I should have brought this up earlier. So Dirty D at Demangus asked a few Twitter questions, and I feel like I should answer one of them.
Can you spell it out for the other listener who wants to follow Mike?
Yeah.
It's at DEMANGIS, at Demangus.
Boom. Demangus, that son of a bitch, had a bunch of questions for us. They were all Sixers-centric, because I feel like he's trolling me.
He is trolling you, and I want to... I'll make a few comments, but they're mostly for you.
But I'll answer one of them. One of the last ones he sent was, like... And I think we've already covered this. Who would you rather trade, Nerlens Noel or Jahlil Okafor? I'm just going to say Jahlil Okafor 100 times over, and that is it. I think you know my opinion on this.
I have no counterpoint. I agree with you.
Right?
I would trade Jahlil, too.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Would you trade him to... Would you take him on Portland?
As a power forward, yeah. I wouldn't give up a... Who would you want for him? Are we going to go down a nerd hole here?
And let's
go
down a
fantasy nerd hole. We'll roll the 20-sided dice. Let's go.
Real quick. I would take... There's nobody you have that I would want.
Oh, great. So you just give us Jahlil Okafor. That'd be right.
Give me picks. Who do you got for a pick?
I would ironically give you Mo Harkless.
That would be ironic.
Right. You get Mo Harkless back.
I don't dislike Mo Harkless.
You need a small forward.
And give me a pick. Give me a pick and Mo Harkless.
We don't have any picks this year.
Fuck. And next year?
I think so. I think.
Your picks aren't going to be worth shit because you're going to land in the 20s.
They're going to buy a pick. They're going to buy a second round pick, and I hope they take Ron Baker. back to basketball. If you know who Ron Baker is, that's who I want because I'm a fucking nerd.
I don't know who
I actually wants Sabonis. Well, we'll talk about this another time. I want Sabonis' kid the most, but
look at you. All right.
I was a huge fan of Sabonis growing up.
That's the problem.
Still
like,
am.
Yeah, Portland has nothing we can get back. Nothing in return.
Oh, really? You don't want CJ McCollum?
Yeah, but I'm not. You want to trade CJ McCollum for fucking Okafor straight up?
It's not worth it.
It's not gonna happen. Right.
You guys though, he's so bad. You should just gift him to Portland.
Anyway,
all right, moving on with the questions.
If you guys want to reach us, you can hit us up at Superflight Pod.
That's the best place to reach us, I think, Kansas.
Yeah, best. I think we're both taking our official Twitters offline here. If you want to reach us at Superflight Pod. Please listen to us on SoundCloud, Google Play,
Stitcher,
which Mike still has no idea. I don't think anybody's listened to Stitcher in years.
I don't think Stitcher's a thing.
It's really a thing. I used to listen to Stitcher all the time.
Really?
Yeah. Stitcher and iTunes. And if you go to iTunes and listen to us, and please subscribe and download and leave us a review because it helps other people find us, and we get very little reviews. I feel like at some point soon.
How many reviews have we gotten?
I think 4.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. They're all pretty good.
I really thought you were going to say 0.
No, there's like 4. There's like, people really like us. The people that do listen to us really like us.
4 people like us.
Yeah. And so.
Yeah, at our moms, that's 6. We got 6 people.
6 people. Like people. 6 people. Anyway, yeah, thank you guys for listening. Actually, I think this was a lot of fun today. We had a good time. And we're going to stick around for the summer, even though most people probably won't. But
I'm not going anywhere. I don't have any plans with my life or anything.
His plan is.
Hang out with Joe.
Hanging out with me. That is a good plan. Anyway, thank you guys for listening, and we will see you again next week.
Peace.